Hello and welcome to Lexitecture, a podcast about word origins and histories. My name is Ryan, and in each episode, my friend Amy and I bring a new pair of words to share their stories with each other and you. You can find our past episodes and the occasional blog post on our website at lexitecture.com. Follow along with us on Twitter and Facebook at Lexitecture. And if you really like what we do, you can support the show at patreon.com/lexitecture. Today's episode, Redacted. Well, here we are again, folks, and unfortunately, we are Amy-less today. The global plague apocalypse and all of its scheduling chaoses, as well as me trying to do the bar exam and kids and quarantines and all kinds of things have kind of made time move both way faster and way slower than anyone really thought. So every time I go to sleep, I wake up and it's 2 weeks later. And so anyway, apologies. We did do a little bit of a listener survey and people tended to say, yeah, something is better than nothing, even though, you know, it's better with both of you talking, which we know, but you'd still prefer to have something rather than nothing, even if it is just one of us. So here we go. You asked for it. I'm glad you did. My word today is redact. And when I think about the word redact, I think about government documents, corporate records, any sort of anything that's going to end up in a news report where the screenshot of the document is just page after page of blotted out paragraphs and big, thick black lines over stuff, where the document itself is important to be made public, but there's information in there that, according to someone somewhere, was not to be. So it gets redacted. And that's kind of where I think about it. I think about it, and specifically in that sort of past participle, a redacted document. And that's where that's what I think of this word when I think of it. The process of editing it to redact something and the description of the document. It turns out when I use that past participle sense, I'm actually being incredibly historically accurate, although completely by accident and only sort of. Boy, I turned that sentence meaningless right quick. But the reason I say that is that the verb form to redact something has written citations in the OED dating back to 1475, while the adjective form goes back almost a century earlier to the end of the 1300s. And as an adjective, it was basically always a past participle type of use. And it always had a meaning that was sort of hovering around the sense of brought together to unify or combine, to bring into a single whole, not H-O-L-E. Although maybe, who knows, maybe you throw it in a hole after you've got it as a whole, but we'll find out. There's also usage that talks about things being brought together into a written form. You know, so if you were to bring together into a single entity, you'd say something like the ingredients were all redacted into a stew. Or if you're talking about, you know, early volumes of law books or whatever, you'd say the laws of the land were redacted and published in volumes. And that's sort of where redact comes in there. There's also a sense of like grinding something down, like kind of pulverizing something, making it into dust. So a 1558 citation talks, for I don't know, whatever reason, about taking dry chamomile redact into powder. So it's a descriptor of how it got the way it is, and basically something being collected together or brought together, or in that last case, turned into dust, which does help you gather it together, sort of. Anyway, that's a tangent we're not going to go down. The verb form, probably not surprisingly, follows these ideas of unification, combination, etc., pretty solidly in the early couple of centuries. And it actually seems like the earliest might have been kind of a shift from the adjective to the verb, because it sort of holds on to that past participle thing. So if you look at that last use of the dry chamomile, redact into powder, well, it's fairly easy to imagine how that would, you know, taken out of context or just heard differently, or you know, you could see it changing from redact being the state of the dry chamomile that has been redacted. It is redact into powder, to being redact into powder, like a verb, an active process. But it was still that kind of collecting things, bringing it together. It's not until the first half of the 1800s that it takes on a meaning of, and this is kind of where this, it all kind of started to come together for me, although there were still little niggling doubts and stuff, but it's the first half of the 18th century, to put writing or text in an appropriate form for publication or to edit. So if you take the appropriate form for publication, you can kind of see the modern redaction sense kind of lurking in there, right? You're trying to make this thing fit for publication, and if it has sensitive data that can't be published, those two things have to be reconciled. When I think about it in the form of to edit, I can't help but kind of go, most of my editors seem to be more concerned about removing things that I had written from writings rather than compiling them into voluminous tomes. But when you, in a more charitable light to editors, when you look at the overall kind of holistic job of an editor, it is to take all of these disparate, I mean, hopefully not too disparate, words and sentences, paragraphs and pages, and kind of bring them all into a comprehensive and ideally comprehensible unit, like one book or one series or one article or whatever it is. You're trying to bring and shape this into a unified entity. Does entity have to be alive? A thing, a lump of written word. There, I ruined editing for you too. So anyway, if you take that holistic view of editing, the gathering sense does work fairly nicely. It actually wasn't until the 1950s that we got the most frequent modern use, which is this redaction, the black lines across sensitive documents. It was, I think, the earliest one in the OED was 1958. And it's basically taken over as what that means. So it's interesting that from this sort of tertiary sense, I think maybe it was sense 3 or 4 of the earliest adjective use was about, you know, had anything to do with writing whatsoever. And then it didn't have the publishing sense until the, you know, 1820s, 1830s, at least in writing. And then the 50s, it takes on this redaction. And then since the 50s, it has become the absolute only, it's almost like the other senses have been redacted. I should write this stuff down before saying it out loud. Etymologically, the word is fairly straightforward. It comes from the Latin word redactus, which is a past participle of redigere, which means to drive back, force back, bring back, collect, call in, bring down, reduce, etc., etc. It's got a bunch of different meanings, redigere. And the component parts of redigere are the re prefix, meaning back or again, which we see in most people kind of go, oh yeah, that makes sense. You know, react, redact, all these other things. And the agere portion means to set in motion, drive, do, or perform. Now, agere comes from a Pi root, ag. I'm going to take a stab at pronouncing that because it's two letters. I feel like setting attainable goals for myself is important in these troubled times. The American Heritage Dictionary Proto-Indo-European Roots Appendix, which is fantastic, says that ag means to drive, to draw out or forth, or to move. And there are a lot of, this is one of those Pi roots where it's like there's a ton of descendants and they're all very cool. Some of them are very obvious. Some of them are very not. And it's all super neat to dive into. So let's do that. This one's for Amy because I know that she loves discovering, you know, chipping away at the surface and finding this awesome vein of Pi or that. Yeah, that's not a good, I should write these things down. So we got a bunch of really obvious ones that take the act from redact. So actor, active, action, activate, actual, actuary, those kind of things. And then there's a slightly, one step removed where it's an AG. So agent, agency, agenda. Agenda is one of my favorite words because it's literally just the Latin word that means that which ought to be done or is worthy of being done. So when you make an agenda, you're establishing the things that are worthy of being done. Also, same form. This is even more of a tangent. If you know anyone named Amanda, their word literally in Latin means worthy of being loved, for the same, in the same formation from the amo, amare, the love root in Latin. Anyway, back to this stuff. Coagulate is another cool one that has the AG root in there. And then there's a bunch of words where the AG seems to have morphed into an IG form. And I'm sure that this is done through a process that actual linguists almost certainly have a name for. I don't know what it is because I'm not a for real linguist, but I'm sure they have a name for it. Someone feel free to tell me what that name is because it's probably awesome. And these IG forms, these IG words include litigation, prodigal, navigation, intransigent. And if that is a Simpsons reference for you, we are already friends. We just don't know it. So those are the IG words. And then there's another group that have an agog form, which these are kind of from coming from the Greek side of the family. And these include things like demagogue, pedagogy, agony, antagonize. Synagogue is a cool one. It's like bringing together, moving together, like synergy and the agog. And it gives us the AG in the G in strategy. It also has an EX form in there, exam, examine, exact. But the agog words have a very cool pair of my new personal favorite words, namely a mystagogue, which is someone who is into mysticism and studies it and spreads it and brings it around or introduces new recruits into a mystic organization. That's a mystagogue. And hypnagogic, which is just means inducing sleep. Or, and then another favorite word of mine, soporific. So something that is soporific is also hypnagogic. So how cool is that? The answer is very. And also naps are fun. Then there's this weird bunch of words that are related, but you probably wouldn't really ever know it. And it's cool. So ambassador and embassy are also related to this because those come from ambassadors, the origin. It comes from the Latin word ambactus, which is literally a servant who goes around. So you got the actus for the go and the ambi, so the ambi, both in like around, sort of ambivalent, ambidextrous, that prefix. But a servant who goes around is an ambactus, and an ambassador is basically a servant who goes around for a government and a country to other countries and does stuff. Insert the level of moral culpability based on your level of international political cynicism. So if you had a hypnagogic mystagogue ambassador, you've got someone who goes around putting people to sleep with talk of mysticism on behalf of someone else, and that person, their entire job title comes from the same pyroot, which is neat. You could even have a prodigal hypnagogic mystagogue ambassador, or a cogent prodigal hypnagogic mystagogue ambassador, or an actual ambiguous cogent prodigal hypnagogic mystagogue ambassador. You could even have an intransigent actual ambiguous cogent prodigal hypnagogic mystagogue ambassador. And that's it for another episode of Lexitecture. To get in touch with us about something you heard in this episode, you can email us at words@lexitecture.com. You can also follow along and talk to us at Lexitecture on Facebook and Twitter, and at Lexitecture Podcast on Instagram. For back episodes and the occasional blog post, visit us at lexitecture.com. Thanks very much, and we'll talk to you again soon.